I want to say I appreciate everybody that's come out to Dutch Bottoms tonight. I believe in all the time that I've been here, this is the biggest crowd we've had on a regular Wednesday night service. And it tickles me to see everybody in church. Pray for us for a few minutes. And I hope you know that you please the Lord when you come to His house. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. That's what I felt like reading in your hearing. And I've got a good friend, Brother Adam Wilson. And if you tuned in this past Sunday morning at 7:30 on WLIK, he took a text. It was, "If I Had Known." And that has stayed with me. And I don't intend on giving you leftovers or trying to re-preach Adam's message. But that thought has stayed with me, so I'd like to try to preach that text to you tonight, if the Lord will help me for just a few minutes, "If I Had Known." And so, Adam mentioned Lot in his message. We can look at Lot, and that's a good place to start. Lot walked with Abraham and Sarah and was part of God's family. Part of Abraham's family, and he was in a place where he was loved. He was in a place where he was taken care of. He was in a place where he was wanted. And he was in a place where he was blessed. Blessed to the point of where the land that they were on couldn't sustain their herds. They had so much that God had blessed them with. And there began to be strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. And it bothered, notice who brought it up. It wasn't Lot. It was Abraham. He didn't want any problem. He didn't want any harsh words, unkind words. Didn't want anything to come between him and Lot because he loved Lot. And he said, "You just look around and you choose, and whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. And let there be no strife between me and thee, for we be brethren." And Lot looked down toward the plains of Sodom. And the Bible said they were green, as it were, the Garden of Eden. And he said, "I'll take that. I'll go that way." Friend, when you're walking away from God's family, you're making a mistake. Had Lot known, I don't think he'd have ever left Abraham and Sarah. And he knew what was in his path. I don't think he'd have ever left Abraham's side. But listen, friend, young folks, old folks, Satan is always going to paint a pretty picture. You turn your TV on, and I like to watch football, I like to watch sports, and every time there's a commercial, they show young faces smiling half-dressed, turning up a beer. And they tell you that's the way that you can have fun. What they don't show is broken homes. What they don't show is lives messed up, families separated and torn apart, and drunkards that can't hold a job. They have nothing left, living on the street. They never show the ugly side of sin, and Satan won't either. And had Lot only known. Now listen, we know Lot's story. We know he went down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that it was a wicked, wicked place. We know that the Lord, their wickedness came up before the Lord, and he sent angels down there, and they visited Abraham and Sarah, and we know about the child that they conceived, but we need to go a little farther. The Lord said, should I reveal unto Abraham what I'm going to do? And so he told Abraham what was going to occur because of the wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, friend, we've lived today until we've decided, and listen, it's not new. We can go all throughout the Bible and read about people. If they had just known the price that sin was going to cost them, they'd have never put their hands on it. They'd have turned their face away from it. If Lot had just known, he wouldn't have never left Abraham's side. When Abraham found out what was going to happen down there where Lot was living, he began to bargain with God, didn't he? He said, if you could find 50 righteous, would you spare the city? And God said, yes. But listen, Abraham had his doubts, didn't he? He said, if you could find 45, if you could find 40, if you could find 30, and right on down till he got to 10. If you could find 10 righteous souls. Let's count. We count Abraham. He was there, but let's count Lot. Let's start with the souls in Sodom that could have possibly been those 10 righteous souls. We count Lot. He was married, wouldn't he? He had 2 daughters that had never known a man. He had sons-in-laws and daughters that was married. We're getting close to 10 right there. Surely there must have been 10 righteous souls. But God already knew, didn't he? Oh, I could hear Lot say, if I would have known. And so the men go down and they knock on Lot's door, and he rushes and hurries to get them inside. Why would he do that? Because he knew the wickedness of Sodom. He knew those men and how they were. And not long after the men arrive in Lot's house, the men come and they ask that Lot send those men out to them that they may know them. What are they talking about? They're talking about men being with men, homosexuality. You can't convince me that it is okay. I'm not saying that God doesn't love those folks. He does, just as much as he loves me and you. But sin is still sin. It may not bother me, but drunkenness may bother me. Lust may bother me. Every man is tempted, and the devil knows exactly what to set in front of you so that it can tempt you. But I'm telling you that God loves everybody, and even the vilest and meanest of men can get forgiveness if they'll call on the name of the Lord. I said that to say this: God is not okay with sin. And why should we be? Why should we be? But we tell ourselves, oh, it's all right. Oh, it's okay. I'm not hurting anybody. Did you hear the scripture? No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. You pray, I'm going to try my best to hurry right along. And when the men come, Lot tries to bargain, doesn't he? He says, I've got 2 daughters that have never known a man. You take them, but you leave these men alone. What are you thinking, Lot? What is wrong with you? And then we go on down. And Lot goes to his sons-in-law to warn them that God is going to destroy that place, don't he? And the Bible said when he tried to warn them, they laughed at him. He seemed as one that mocked. Listen, what's the New Testament say about Lot living in Sodom? It says that he vexed his righteous soul with their filthy conversation. I appreciate the brother's witness. I appreciate his advocation to you to share your testimony. Paul told Timothy, be always ready to give reason for the hope that lies within you. Are you saved? It is the best thing that's ever happened to you. Then why don't we open our mouth and tell about the goodness of God? If Lot had only known, he might have saved a whole city if he'd opened his mouth and told about the great God that he knew. But he kept his mouth shut and Sodom burned. Had Lot only known, what happened to that wife that he loved? Oh. You loved your wife, don't you? You wouldn't want anything to happen to her, would you? I don't think Lot would have either. And had he only known and shared his... We don't read about Lot being married when he was over there with Abraham, do we? You see, that relationship was new, but they must have been together for a right good many years because they had grown children that were married. Let's say 20, 25, or 30. And in all that time, Lot had never told about the great God that he served. In all that time, in all those years, Lot had never told that he believed in a God that worked miracles. What is the matter, Lot? Oh, if he'd only knew. But instead of telling his person that he loved more than anything in this world, that she needed to be saved, that she needed to be redeemed, that she needed to know the Lord, he kept his mouth shut. And whenever the trying time came and it came time to leave, she turned back and was turned into a pillar of salt. And Lot said, I'm sure if I had only known, this could have never happened. But I could have kept her right by my side. We read where Lot goes on out, and Lot, he's standing there. Listen, here's another thing about Lot. Did you know he didn't go of his own accord? Did you know he piddled around and he lollygagged until the angels had to pick him, his wife, and his two daughters up and set them outside the city so that God could destroy it? I'm telling you today, God is waiting on me and you to move. And if had you only known what great, I believe this, if had you only known what great things God could do through you, you'd jump at the opportunity to worship him and praise him and lift up his name. But instead we sit still and we don't realize until it's too late what we missed. Had I only known. Let's finish with Lot. You want to? You all know that Lot went off into the mountain out of fear with those two daughters, those two virgin daughters. They were afraid that his lineage would die. They were afraid that nobody would be able to carry his name. And this just goes to show you that nothing good comes from sin. They got Lot drunk. And one of them went in and laid with him one night. and the other went in and laid with him another night. They both came down with child. And one of them's child was named Moab. He became the leader of the Moabites. And the other one, she had a son as well. And he became the leader of the Ammonites. And you know what the relationship was between the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Jewish people? The Moabites and the Ammonites caused problems for God's people all throughout the Old Testament. Had Lot only knew, he would have never left Abraham's side, I'm sure. He lost his wife. He lost his children. And caused problems for the children of God for generations. The Bible says this. It says that the Lord would visit the sin of the father unto the children of the third and fourth generations. Don't tell me what you do. Don't affect anybody. It'll affect your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. And I only knew. I wonder if that thought crossed Achan's mind. You know Achan's story. God brought great victory at Jericho, didn't he? They didn't have to fire a shot. That don't mean it wasn't hard. While they were walking around the walls of Jericho, people were throwing off things and trying to hit them, spitting on them, cursing them. Read me in the Bible where God said it'd ever be easy. It's just not in there. But they didn't have to fire a shot. All they had to do was shout for the Lord. If that's left up to some of us, the walls would still be standing, wouldn't they? When I get to heaven, I'm going to shout all over. Well, he told us in his word, he'd make us to sit together in heavenly places. What's wrong with us now? I believe we can shout every now and then down here when we feel his presence. All that, thank you, Lord. All that has to be to make it heaven is to be in his presence anyway.
Amen.
Where's our shout? The walls fell. The children of Israel went in to claim the spoil. And they were told before the walls ever fell not to touch the accursed thing. But Achan thought he could get away with just a little bit. Guess what, folks? You can't get away with just a little bit. Because God knows. I don't believe there was a single soldier, a single child of Israel that knew anything about Achan's sin. But God did. He took the Babylonian garment, the silver and the gold, and he buried it in his tent and thought he had it hid. He buried it in the ground, in the dirt, in the dust. You know where our sin's buried? In the dust. And we think we got it hid, but God knows. You pray on for just a minute. Oh. And the children of Israel had to go down to fight a little country named Ai. They didn't need many. They sent about 3,000 soldiers. They were feared because God had brought them victory after victory. But when they went to battle and the accursed thing was in Israel, the Israelite soldiers ran from that little bitty country. And 36 men, 36 of Achan's friends, 36 soldiers that he had fought side by side, battle after battle. Take a look around at the soldiers that you're with here tonight. We may not have guns. We may not literally kill people. But I'm telling you, I want to see you flourish. I want to see you worship. I want to see you have victory. And what kind of brother would I be if I let my accursed thing cost you your spiritual life?
Amen. Amen.
but it didn't bother Achan. I wonder if he had a tinge of regret when he found out those men that he had served beside lost their lives. How about you? When we do or we say something that offends somebody and they just back off and service rolls around and you don't see them anymore, do we have any regret? Did you know that everybody's right these days? We've got to the point that our pride is so stout. The hardest thing for us to do is say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And I've had to do it when I didn't feel like I was wrong. But God said, do it. And when I did it, he let me free. Oh, Achan, wonder if you thought twice about that stuff that you had hid. But let me tell you, when the thought crossed his mind, if I had known. When Joshua said, son, what have you done? And Achan said, thus and thus have I done, and I've got it hid down in my tent. And they sent men down there, and they dug it up, and there it was, and they brought it out, and they brought all that Achan had ever worked a day for in his life, everything that he had, plus his wife and his children. I look at them little old youngins that you bring. I'm sure Achan had some just like them. And there they stood, and Israel stoned them with stones. Can you see? It's one thing for you to hit me. It's another thing for you to hurt my child. And there was Achan as he stood being hurt by stone after stone landed on him. But that wasn't the worst part of it. He could hear them youngins crying. Oh, at the pain they were going through. And if that weren't enough, whenever they set fire to them, I'm sure Achan thought, if I had only known what this was going to do, I'd have never took that stuff. Do you realize what sin can do to you? Oh, friend. What about Eli? I wonder if he thought, if I had only known. You see, Eli was a religious fella. Eli had two sons who were priests, Hophni and Phinehas. Except they weren't the right kind of priest. They took advantage of their offices. Rather than taking the priest's portion for the sacrifice, the tradition was to boil the sacrifice, and then they had a fork that they put in there, and they pulled it out, and whatever was on the fork was the priest's portion, and the rest of it went to be sacrificed to the Lord. But rather than take their part, they demanded that their part be taken out before the meat was roasted. So they took more than God ever intended for. Let me tell you something. You'll never profit by trying to profit from the church. All right. Then we read where Hophni and Phinehas brought the ark down to the battle. And what happened? Because they were not living where they needed to be. There's much more in this than I'll ever preach out. Israel lost the ark. What is that, preacher? What does that make a difference in this day and age? Listen, the ark was a testimony of God's children that told what God had done for them, told of their blessings, told their battles, told their victories. If you want an ark today, right here it is. It's a good old King James Version Bible, and I'm going to preach. It'll tell you everything you need to know about life. We don't need the internet to know what's going to happen tomorrow. We need the King James Version Bible, and we need to pick it up. Up, open it up and read it.
Amen.
Thank you. We're consumed with the least little tidbit of news, and there's dust on her Bible. Hophni and Phinehas brought the ark down to the battle. The Philistines took it. And Eli had the chance to prevent all that. You see, the child Samuel came in and prophesied before all this ever happened and told Eli that there's a price to be paid. The Lord sent warning by a prophet to Eli and told him he needed to straighten his boys out, didn't he? And what did Eli do? I love my kids, preacher. You leave my kids out of it. Are we supposed to let them? Some of you ain't gonna like this. Are we supposed to turn them loose and let them do whatever they want to do?
No.
Never correct them. Listen. Well, I love my kids, preacher. If you do, train up a child. You know what happens to children that have no training? They have no discipline. They have no idea of how to please God. Listen, church should never be optional. I've heard y'all talk, and I can share the same testimony. And I believe you was raised the same way I was. When it comes to church time, it was church time for everybody. You've heard me tell. 6 o'clock on Sunday night was wild kingdom time. And 7 o'clock was the wonderful world of Disney. And I can count on one hand how many episodes of both of those TV shows I saw. You know why? Because we went to church.
Amen.
I know what a zebra looks like. I don't need Wild Kingdom to tell me that. I know mice don't talk. But I found out by going to church. Woo! Jesus saves.
Amen.
I never had thought about it this way, Marty. If I'd have got to stay home on Sunday night, I may never have been under conviction. Because I got under conviction at church during a Sunday night service. See what I might have missed? Oh. Eli had the opportunity. As a matter of fact, when Samuel prophesied to him, he said, because your boys are vile and you reviled them not. In other words, you never corrected them. And when Israel lost the ark, they lost the battle. Did you catch that? I know. Worship, worship, worship. Listen, I'm 57 years old. I've been in church all my life. I've never seen a church that the power of God was there every time you walk through the door from the time you get there to the time you leave. You know why it's like that? Because we're flesh. We can't always focus and do the things we need to do. But you know what we do need until the power of God comes and we can really worship Him? We need God's Word.
Amen.
There's a place to study God's Word.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to know what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to treat one another, how we're supposed to love one another if we don't study and read God's Word?
Amen. Come on now.
Amen.
It's true.
When Israel lost the ark, they lost the battle. Hophni and Phinehas was killed. Eli sat up on a stump, and when he heard the news, he fell backward, broke his neck, and he was killed. And I believe it was Phinehas' wife was expecting a child. She had the child, and when she had the child, there was no joy. She was heartbroken, and she named the child Ichabod because she said the glory of Israel is gone. Because they lost the ark.
Amen.
Friend, when we neglect God's word, we neglect His glory.
Amen.
All right. Had I known, I'm going to try my best to hush here in just a second. Let's visit one more fella. He was clothed in purple and fine linen and fired sumptuously every day. And I'm sure he got a little aggravated because there was a beggar that he had to step over every time he left his house. Looked like they wouldn't bring that fella down to my door. I've never given him anything but just a few crumbs, and here he lays every day in my way, aggravating me, singing those songs, talking to his God. Looked like he'd just leave me alone. But when he died and in hell he lifted up his eyes, I'm sure the thought crossed his mind. If I'd have known, as a matter of fact, I know it crossed his mind. He said, I've got five brethren. Would you send somebody to warn them, to tell them not to come to this awful place? Listen, sinner, there is a place called hell, and it's just as real as the pew you're sitting on. There is a Satan, and it's just as real as the person you're sitting beside, and he's just waiting for you to die lost and undone so you can suffer for eternity in the fire that never goes out. I hear the rich man saying, if I would have known. Oh, if he'd have realized before that last breath, he'd have probably went and hugged that beggar's neck and said, tell me what you got that I don't have. Tell me. I've got all this stuff, but I've got an emptiness on the inside. Tell me. You see, friend, sin causes regret. Don't sit there and tell me you've not done it. For every man is enticed when he's drawn away of his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And it's going to do this part. And sin, when it is finished. Listen. The Bible says this, doesn't it? There's pleasure in sin for a season. It's 90 degrees every day. But give it about 6 weeks. It'll be about 75 every day. And then give it another 4 weeks. It'll get down to the 40s. And then by Christmas, we'll be in winter. The leaves will all have fallen and changed colors. The trees will be bare. The grass will quit growing, and the season will have changed. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but seasons change.
Amen.
When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, and it will finish, and when it's done with you, it'll bring forth death.
Amen.
Do not err, and who's he talking to? Do not err, my beloved brethren. Was Lot a Christian as we'd know it? I'd say he was. He's one of the children of Israel. He may not always lived it, but the Bible did say he had a righteous soul. What happened when he walked away from God's people? What happened when he didn't correct the neighbors he was living around? What happened when he never gave a testimony or witness about God to his family, his wife, his children, his sons-in-law? If he'd only known. What happened to Achan because he was a little greedy and thought he could hide it? He caused innocent men to lose their lives, 36 of them. I used to work up at the bus, near the bus garage in Jefferson County. If I drained the brake line, I wouldn't have pointed a gun and shot anybody. I wouldn't have stabbed anybody with a knife. But a whole busload of kids could have lost their lives if I drained a brake line.
That's true.
36 innocent men lost their lives because Achan sinned. There's no other way to put it. That's just as much murder as if he had took a knife and killed him himself. Plus that, he caused his whole family to die because he's just a little bit greedy and thought he could hide it and get away with it. Eli lost both of his sons and his own life and was made a public example in Israel because he refused to tell his sons they needed to straighten up, that they need to repent. If they were going to be priests, they need to be priests for God instead of priests for Baal. You see, friend, not everything is, not everybody that calls himself a Christian is one.
Amen. Amen.
By their fruits, you shall know them. I don't know who the pastor of the First Baptist is. I'm sure he's a fine fella. I know who the pastor of Dutch Bottoms is. He's not so good. If I'm hateful as all get out, cut you short, show contempt for you every time that you are in my presence, it really doesn't matter what I call myself, does it? Because I'm not being a Christian. The Bible says about the rich man in hell, he lift up his eyes. You see, God gave him an opportunity, and he walked over the top of it. God gives us opportunities. He gives you, listen, John often has you raise your hand. As a matter of fact, you did it tonight, John. You had everybody raise their hand if they knew somebody that was lost. And we all raised our hand. Raise your hand if you're satisfied with those folks going to hell. Are you? Because if you sit still and you don't say anything, you might as well go ahead and raise your hand. If you sit still and you never tell them about the goodness of God, we like that song, don't we? Always had a place to sleep, clothes to wear, and food to eat. What's that line say? God has been so good to me. If I asked you to raise your hand, if God had been good to you, why, every hand in the house would go up, wouldn't it? Then where is the words to match your actions? Why aren't we telling how good God is to our sinner people? Why are we not letting them know what they're missing by not knowing God? In order for somebody to want something, they need to see the advantage in having it. And when they look at us and our chins are down and our face is scowled and we're that old miserable backslid Christian, why would they want what we got? Friend, I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell, do you? Then I need to be opening my mouth. I need to let them know the reason for the hope that's on the inside of me. Am I always pleased with the way my life goes? No, I'm not. But I've always got peace in my heart.
Amen. Amen.
That peace is worth, I believe it said it's peace that passeth all understanding. That alone is worth salvation. All right. Had I only known. Don't you wait. Let me just close with this. I know we're running a little late. And I've told you this before. We got any 17-year-olds here tonight? Ours one and ours two right there.
Three.
Seniors. Yeah? When I was your age, I had a friend. We graduated, And about 2 weeks after graduation, we took a vocational class at the high school, Heaton Iyer. And he called me. And his family was having trouble with their heating and air unit, and he wanted me to come see if I could help him figure it out. I spent the whole day with him. We talked about all kinds of things. What I didn't talk about was my God. What I didn't talk about was what I knew about the goodness of the Lord. I believe even you fellas could admit that God's been good to you. See, I didn't tell him that. And I went home. And about a month or two after that, this was before Facebook. This was before TikTok and all that stuff. It was before the internet. I got news that he went off a cliff in Kentucky drunk and died instantly. And his obituary said he was of the Baptist faith. I'm a Baptist. There's nothing wrong with being Baptist. But you must be born again.
Hey!
I can't change that. Had I known what was going to happen, I'd have begged that boy to get saved. Had I known he was going to die and his days were just a few, I'd have done my best to say, please, please, please try Jesus. I let that go by, and I can't undo that. Had I known. You see, friend, we don't know what tomorrow holds. And it could be your sinner next. It could be that one that you called their name out while you were praying just a minute ago. If you knew this was it for them, would you do anything different? Would you make an effort? You know where we're at. Let somebody else do that. Well, God put you in that person's life for a reason. Maybe he wants you to do.
Yes, sir.
Maybe he wants you to do. Had I only known. I hope that when I die, I can say, Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do. I know I can't say that 100% because I've already failed him too many times. But I'd like to take this day and from this day forward live a life that he'd be proud of.
Amen.
That he'd be pleased with. I don't want to get to that point again where I say, had I known. You don't want to either, do you? All right. That's the message.